Wicked Games by Ellen Hart. Prologue. Minneapolis, midsummer, 1968. When Virginia thought of this night years later, she was never quite able to shake the sense that she'd failed to see or understand something important. It would become a nagging ache, one that haunted her days and nights, just as it would forever destroy her peace of mind. This ordinary summer evening would become the fulcrum on which the rest of her life turned. Was it a chance event? Certainly she hadn't seen it coming, nor for that matter had her husband. Driving home from the store that lovely June evening, the scent of summer rain in the air, she was on top of the world. The small floral and garden store she'd opened a few years before was going strong, so strong, in fact, that she planned to open a second store in the fall in time for the Christmas rush. And next spring, she was thinking of expanding into a full-service greenhouse, selling everything from house and bedding plants to specialty pots and garden supplies. As she pulled into the driveway, turning off the motor and sitting for a minute enjoying the cool breeze and the dark, her mind was occupied by thoughts of inventories and plans for buying trips she would need to make to Mexico and the Far East before the new store opened. Life was good for Virginia Kastner. Both of her boys were doing well in school, and though her husband was having some trouble finding just the kind of job that suited him, he'd been working steadily as a construction foreman all summer. He loved to work with his hands, especially when it came to carpentry. And Virginia assumed he would eventually end up in the building trade somewhere, probably as the head of his own company. Hearing the sound of muffled laughter, she slipped out of the front seat, careful to make sure she didn't drop her briefcase. It contained two bone china plates she wanted to show her husband. It was about time they picked out a family pattern. Glancing around to see where the laughter was coming from, Virginia looked up and saw a dark form huddled at the peak of the roof near the chimney. "Otto," she called, wondering what her husband was doing up there at this time of night. "Guess again," came a youthful voice. Feeling a shiver creep down her spine, Virginia stepped away from the car. "My God, Jay, how did you get up there? Get down this minute." Thinking better of her order, she barked, "No, just stay there. I'll have your dad come up and get you." "No, you won't," he snickered. He tried to stand, but seemed unsteady on his feet. "I've been sick, Mom. Don't be mad." He wiped a hand over his mouth. "Sick? Sick how?" "I threw up." "Just stay still." She felt her stomach clutch. Neither of her sons had ever gone up on the roof before. Not that Jay could entirely understand the danger. He was only 10 years old. She set her briefcase down. "Where's your brother?" she asked tentatively. The two of them were always together. Maybe he was up there too, but too afraid to show his face. When they'd moved into the new house, she'd given them separate bedrooms, but since they always ended up sleeping together anyway, she eventually gave up and bought bunk beds.
"Yeah, where is Elliot?" said Jay. "That's a good question." "Hey, Mom, I'm surprised you could see me."
He sounded annoyed now.
"See you? Of course I can see you. Why wouldn't I?"
He let out a snort.
"Because you got a wooden eye." His words seemed to strike him as funny, and he began to giggle. "What are you talking about?" Her fear was mixed with impatience now. "You're as blind as a bat, Mom. That's what Dad said. A blind old wooden bat."
He giggled again, playing with the sentence.
"A blind bat. A blind rat. Are rats ever blind, Mom?"
If she didn't know better, she'd think he'd been drinking.
"Just stay still. I'll get your father. You've got some explaining to do, young man." "Hey, wait," called Jay, standing up and weaving away from the chimney. "This is fun."
He hiccuped, then covered his mouth with his hand.
"I don't want to come down. Not ever. I'm going to live up here from now on. You can put Twinkies and stuff for me to eat on the sunroom roof. You should see the world from this high up, Mom. It's cool. I feel like a king, and this is my mountain."
He flung his arms out and looked up at the stars.
"Really, it's..."
Stumbling awkwardly, he lost his balance and tumbled forward.
"Jay!" She held up her hands, realizing the instant she did
that it was useless. Hearing a thud in the backyard, she rushed around the side of the house and lunged through the open gate. But it was too late. Jay's body lay limp and twisted on the grass, his beautiful dark hair matted with sweat. As she knelt next to him, afraid to breathe, she touched his forehead gingerly, seeing the trickle of blood coming from the side of his mouth, smelling the alcohol, the vomit. She knew she had to run get help, but it was a moment out of time. Her mind raced, but her body was paralyzed, frozen by a sound she heard somewhere in the distance. It was a high-pitched screech, like the shriek of a siren or a factory whistle. Had someone already called the paramedics? It took a few seconds more before she realized the sound was coming from inside her.